Good evening. Fantastic worship. Could have carried on. I almost thought I should just stay seated, but then I thought that would disappoint some people. Good evening. We are steaming. Can I have my first picture, please? We are steaming through the New Testament in a year. Who is doing their readings every day? Fantastic. We've done Mark's Gospel, and we're now on to day two of Mark's Gospel, which is my favourite Gospel. Kath likes John. I like Mark. Dan, what's your favourite Gospel? It has to be either Matthew or Luke. What did he say? Yes. I love Mark's Gospel because it is fast-paced. It is the earliest of the Gospels. It has urgency. It's great stories from somebody who knew Jesus intimately. The author is traditionally identified as John Mark, right at the centre of first century life. He is gripped, is Mark, by a love for Jesus. He wants to capture the good news so that others may trust in Jesus. His gospel is full of Jesus and kingdom good news. Amen. It's good passage tonight. I mean, the rest of the gospel is good too, but tonight's really good. So, it's jam-packed full of Jesus. Now, this lovely picture here I took, this is the door of the, I'm going to say it wrong, the big Gaudi Cathedral in Barcelona. That's the place. That's the door. It has Jesus in it if you look for it. There we go. It's a fabulous place. It is jam-packed full of Jesus and the kingdom breaking in to ordinary lives in ordinary and extraordinary ways. We are reading Mark chapter 1, starting at verse 23. So if you have a Bible, do open it. There are some on the window ledges, or pop your phone on as long as you're not doing Sudoku. We are following along in the new in the NIV UK version of the Bible. So Mark chapter 1, verses 23 to 45. Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed, they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority. He even gives orders to impure spirits and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who were ill and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so that I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. A man came to him with leprosy and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the good news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. This passage is all about Jesus. It's all about him setting out who he is. If you are reading the passages every day, yesterday's reading at the beginning of Mark chapter 1 said this. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." Because Jesus is here, there is good news everywhere. The kingdom of God has come near. I don't know what you think when you hear the word kingdom. Many of us think of a king. Here's the lovely King Charles. We are ruled over by him in whatever imperfect way that the monarchy and the government coexist. I make no further comment on that. But in Mark's gospel, the word used isn't about the place that's ruled over, but the rule itself. So when we read the kingdom in Mark's gospel, we might hear the rule and the reign of God. The authority of God has come near. And in our reading tonight, we just heard four snapshots of that in action, of when the authority of God comes near. And I would like to suggest to you that if that is true then, it is just as true now, that the authority of God comes near now. Amen? Thank you, South African row. I love the South African row. Thank you. It's Colin, it's like you should have always been on the South African row. You've been channeling that for years. South African Colin. Okay. So we're going to look at these four snapshots, and I think they tell us three things. Okay. And the first thing is this, that Jesus ushers in this kingdom authority over the supernatural. This kingdom authority over the supernatural. That's what we heard. I'll leave it up there. Jesus has been teaching with authority in the synagogue in the beginning of our reading. People were amazed by what they heard. I'll come back to that. And the first person we've heard in our reading to do something about the teaching that they have heard was not the synagogue leaders, was not a congregational member, but a demon was the first to respond. Because there's clearly something deeper happening here than just a preaching gig in the synagogue. Outside, the world goes on as it's always gone on. But Jesus is doing some battling in the supernatural realm, in a synagogue, in Capernaum. He has come to do some business. And this demon, this impure spirit, recognizes who Jesus is. Calls him Jesus of Nazareth and the Holy One of God. Calls him by his name twice. Now, I think that's really interesting. This unclean spirit recognizes the authority of Jesus. He knows who Jesus is and what Jesus is doing. And so he does something really interesting. Let me take you back to the Old Testament. I have a picture. You may remember this story. You may not. This is Jacob wrestling with the angel in Genesis chapter 32. Fab story. Spoiler alert, angel turns out to be God in disguise. Sorry if I've just ruined the story for you. And after wrestling all the way through the night, Jacob demands a blessing. So the angel asks Jacob his name. Why? Because revealing your name to an opponent was an act of submission. So Jacob was admitting who he was and was coming under the authority of the angel. Now, if somebody stood up here in the congregation and said to me, "I know who you are, Louise Franklin," something in me would pause. I don't know about you. Anybody else have a little bit of imposter syndrome now and again? Just me then. Thanks, everybody, for understanding. thanks. We all have, maybe just me. Sometimes we have the idea that our fears about who we really are going to be found out. As soon as somebody says they know me or you, they're making a claim. And that's what this demon was doing. There'll be one later on in the story who does try and do that as well. But we see that the demon's days are numbered. He has no authority against Jesus. Jesus tells the demon to shut up. Be quiet, says the NIV very politely. Be quiet, says Jesus sternly. You could always imagine it in an English accent. Be quiet, sit down, young chap. No. It's the same word that's used to still the storm. Shut up and be still. It is authority. It's a proper northern telling off. Get in your place. And this unclean spirit cannot get out from under the authority of Jesus when the kingdom of God is at hand. And so this man is healed, he is freed, there's a transformation. We don't know what happens next, but that would make a great autobiography. He gets to experience the kingdom of God breaking in his life, and nothing for him is the same again. And if the same is true then, than now, every time someone is saved, their lives are turned around and the same thing happens. And the kingdom of God breaks in afresh. Because Jesus has the same authority now as he had then. The same authority to heal us. The same authority to change us. The same authority to transform us. The same authority to free us. Amen? Thank you, South African row. That's point number one. Point number two is we also see the kingdom authority over illnesses. There are two stories that we heard of Jesus setting people free over illness, his authority over sickness and disease. There's a first story. Jesus calls into the house of Simon and Andrew, where Simon's mother-in-law is not well. Clearly, Simon got on with his mother-in-law because he invited Jesus to do something to heal her. Didn't leave her there.
Don't like her.
Clearly, he likes his mother-in-law. So should we all. So she's in bed with a fever. She doesn't go unnoticed by Jesus. And there's this very quiet, simple healing. He just holds her hand, gets her out of bed. She's healed. Just like that. Just like that. Amazing. And that good news spreads. Of course it will. Good news like that will spread. Verse 33 tells us the whole town was outside. Can you imagine that? The whole town was outside. It would be a health and safety nightmare, Wilf. They'd need a risk assessment for that, wouldn't they? The whole town being outside. Now, some of them would be spectators. Some of them would be glory hanger-oners. Some of those people would be gawkers, you know, those people who slow down when there's an accident. Oh, look, there's an injury. Oh, how exciting. There will be people who are there to watch, but we're told that the news of the healing power of Jesus had grown, and people were being healed left, right, and centre. And what he does for the one, he does for the crowd later on in our passage. I love the fact that Simon's mother-in-law is mentioned in all this huge crowds of people getting healed. Just reminds us, because sometimes we forget, that Jesus is never too busy with the crowd for audiences of one. Never too busy, and everyone is seen, and everyone is noticed. So a mother-in-law is healed, and a man with leprosy is made clean. We heard the passage. And I love this short conversation that Jesus has with this man who has leprosy. Remember that in these days, in the eyes of the law, in the eyes of ceremonial purity, if you touch somebody with leprosy, you are then unclean. Unclean in the eyes of the Jewish ritual purity laws. And there is a whole palaver of what you need to do to be made clean again in the eyes of the synagogue and in the eyes of God. And Jesus, when he touches this leper, is now unclean. That blows my mind. And this is interesting conversation. The man comes to him, begs him on his knees. He says this: "Are you willing?" "I am," Jesus says. So basically saying, are you willing not just to heal me, but are you willing to become unclean for me? "I am," says Jesus. Wow. I think the "I am willing" is the default answer of Jesus when we come honestly before him. He meets us where we're at. He hears us. He knows us. He loves us. It's an "I am willing" to us. It's a yes and amen to us. He had kingdom authority over illness then. He has kingdom authority over illness now. Amen? It's growing from the South African row. It may get to this side of the church by the end of the night. Finally, we hear that the kingdom advances through prayer and preaching. Jesus reveals his priorities, and they're twofold. The first is his connection to his Father. And the second is making sure everybody gets to hear about the good news. They are two good priorities. The first is prayer. We're told he gets up very early in the morning. Not just early, it says very early whilst it is still dark. Bless him. Hope he doesn't ask us all to do the same. And he makes that the first priority of his day, the important thing he begins his day with, by himself, with his Father, quiet, connected, praying, listening, recharging, everything that we need to do, but perhaps find the least amount of time in our day to do. And he does that first, because he knows he has to do that first, because everything for him stems from that early morning appointment. And he knows his second priority is to help people know the good news of the kingdom, that they're included, that they're welcomed, that they're loved, that they're saved, that they're forgiven. And in order to do that, he needs to preach. And so to do that, there is, we are told, a Galilee-wide preaching tour in synagogues. And the kingdom of God continues to break in. We're told demons are driven out and people are set free. I believe that God is still in the business of breaking into lives and setting people free. Anyone agree? So, a question. Where do you see the kingdom of God breaking in today? I'd like to tell you about something. You may have been following this in the news. This is Ashbury College in Kentucky, where a movement of God has been taking place. Yay, says Heather. God is breaking into lives afresh. It is a theological college, I think, and they have been worshipping now for 10 days non-stop. I think maybe this is day 11. Non-stop. It's a university. Young people brought to their knees after an ordinary chapel service. Morning prayers finished. They left. Somebody was about to lock the chapel door, and the Spirit of God fell on the university and brought people back in. And there has been this incredible move of God. There is nothing flashy. This is not all smoke and mirrors. There's no smoke machines. There's no celebrity band. There's no big preacher. It's just God doing what God does. Oh, and Twitter is in uproar. Is this a revival? Is this not? I don't care. Don't care. And apparently, it's spreading across university campuses across America, because God is clearly up to something. The kingdom of God is breaking in. I was reading from one older person who is a lecturer at Ashbury College. And he said this. I'll read it out to you. I find it interesting that God would mark this outpouring with a tangible sense of peace for a generation with unprecedented anxiety. a restorative sense of belonging amidst an epidemic of loneliness, an authentic hope for a generation marked by depression, a leadership emphasizing protective humility in relationship with power for a generation deeply hurt by the abuse of religious power, a focus on participatory adoration for an age of digital distraction. It feels as if God is personally meeting young adults in ways meaningful to them. Wow. Wow. I love that. And I love the fact that nobody has made this happen. No brought-in preacher. No big band. Although we all have a big band. No celebrity. Just God doing what God does. And it started with them on their knees in repentance. Interestingly, in 1947, there was another revival at the same place, and they've been praying for another one ever since. We've been talking tonight about how God can do it then, so God can do that now. And clearly, he is. And I want to say, bring it on, Lord. I want to say more, because I believe that God is still in the business of his kingdom breaking in into our lives. And we live under that rule and reign of that same authority of God, who is doing something in America, who did something in Mark's gospel, who does something every time his people look to him. We have the same God then as now. Do we believe that, though? Apart from the South African row. I think God is on the move. I think God is doing something. We've been saying that in our church, when all of a sudden all these new people have arrived, God's doing something. I had more people than I have ever seen at Easton this morning. I literally have no idea where they all came from. People that we've been working with for years who don't come to church, and all of a sudden they were all there. We ran out of bacon butties. I was like, praise God. What are you doing? God is doing something. Now, we have to have eyes to see that, and we have to catch up with what he's doing, and we have to be open to what he could do through us. I'm going to invite Kath up, and we're going to pray together, and we're going to ask for openness. I'm just going to hand it over to you rather than waffling.
Thank you. Well, thank you, Louise, for your message and your honesty and your encouragement to us. I made a little note there. Are you willing? That's the question. And that God is never too busy with the crowd for the audience of one. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. So we thought we would take a few minutes, really, to say he's never too busy, and to say that message of the kingdom of God breaking in incredibly on the other side of the Atlantic, he's still not too busy to break in here and to meet you where you're at tonight. We love this church. We love the people of the church, and we long to see God break into your lives, into our lives, into the lives of people we know who really need God's kingdom. Maybe you need God's kingdom to break into your life with a physical healing or with an incredible peace over your mental well-being. Maybe you need God's kingdom to break in to your job or your career, to your family. Maybe you need to stand in the gap for your neighbor who needs God's kingdom in their marriage. Whatever it may be, Maybe there's a sin that's weighing you down and you need God's kingdom to break in and proclaim freedom from that. We're going to ask you to do a brave thing, but this is not for one, it's for many. To say, would you please come to the front, because we would love to pray for you. As the band start in a few minutes, if you would love to see the kingdom of God break in gentleness but in power, would you consider coming to the front here so we can just pray that simple prayer, the kingdom of God break in. And it might be that